Aloha everyone, my name is Brendan and I want to welcome you to New Hope Windward Online. Thank you for tuning in with us today. In a few moments, we're going to worship God through our giving. But first, I'd like to share with you how your giving is helping to make a difference. Every week, we've been showing our Sunday services at the Saguaro Correctional Center in Arizona, where over 1,700 Hawaii inmates are incarcerated due to overcrowding issues here in our Hawaii prison system. Your giving helps make a huge difference in reaching many of these inmates for Jesus. Also, because of your generosity, we're able to send them free resources such as Hawaiian English Translation Bibles to keep them connected to their roots in Hawaii while learning God's Word. We'd like you to hear from our Women's Community Correctional Center Chaplain Tammy Tercios just how much you're helping to make a difference in the lives of these men.
Good morning, New Hope Windward. I am so excited to share with you how your giving is blessing the men in Arizona at Saguaro Correctional Center. Recently, we were able to bless the men there with Hawaiian items like the ipuheke, malos, and lava lavas. But what I'm really excited about is the beautiful Hawaiian English Bibles that we were able to donate to them. You see, they are separated from their family and their friends, and it's such a blessing for them to connect with their Hawaiian culture as they get grounded in their faith. I would like to say thank you for your continual commitment to supporting the men and women that are incarcerated. The Bible says in Matthew 25:36, I was in prison and you visited me. I tell you this, whatever you've done for the least of my brothers, you've done for me. I would like to let you know that we will continue to stay committed to helping the men grow in their faith by sending them weekly Sunday messages. So thank you again for your generous support.
New Hope Windward, it is because of your generosity and selfless giving that we as a church are able to extend our reach far beyond Hawaii and make a huge kingdom difference in the lives of others. Thank you for continuing to sacrificially give so that more and more lives are transformed by the power of Jesus. At the bottom of the screen, you'll see three easy, safe, and secure ways to donate. By clicking the Give tab on our website, you can give a one-time gift or have it reoccurring. Another way to give is by texting the word donation to the number on your screen and follow the instructions, or if you prefer, you can mail in your gift. You can send it to the address below. Would you bow your heads with me as I lead us in prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you that we get to partner with you to impact more lives for your kingdom. What an opportunity we have to reach many inmates at Saguaro Correctional Center so that you can redirect their eternities toward heaven, as well as turn their lives around with renewed purpose to live for you. We're grateful for New Hope Windward and for those who continue to give so generously that we can support these men with the resources they need to grow in their relationship with Jesus. We worship you through our giving today. It's in the powerful name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Today we are continuing our Stay Positive message series, and we're going to hear a great message from Pastor TJ. So wherever you're joining us from, would you please join me in welcoming Pastor TJ.
Well, hello, New Hope Windward. Hey, it's great to be with you, especially if you're just joining us for the first time. Allow me to introduce myself. My name is TJ. I'm part of the teaching team here at New Hope Windward, and we are glad that you are here. Now, if you are just joining us, we are in the middle of this series called Stay Positive. It's week three of the series, and what I want to do to start the series today off is this, is kind of answer a question I know probably a lot of you are asking right now. Matter of fact, I'm guessing it has very little to do with the series and a whole bunch to do with why is Pastor TJ holding a bat in his hands? Well, good question. Part of our Stay Positive campaign is this, is, if you don't stay positive, I'm just going to come to your house. Nah, just kidding. What I want to do is I want to tell you a story about when I met one of my best friends. See, growing up, I had three best friends, and where I met one of my friends was actually through baseball. Now, I only played baseball for 1 year, and by the end of this story, you will know exactly why. Now, my best friend that I met that year, his name, believe it or not, is actually TJ. That's right. So there was TJ and TJ, and people all the time would get confused, and that's actually how I got my nickname, The Great One. Nah, just playing. That would be awesome, though, wouldn't it? No, but they called me just Gorham because that's my last name. And I remember I was on this baseball team. We're in the third grade, and TJ's dad was one of our coaches. Now, TJ's dad was an incredible man. He overcame a lot of adversity. I'll give you an example. When he was younger, he worked in a lumber mill, and they actually had an accident, and he got his entire arm cut off. Now, for a lot of people, that would cause them maybe to stop doing different things, but for TJ's dad, he was determined that it wasn't going to hinder him. And so he would ride motorcycles and just continue to live his life, and he would even start to coach sports, hence our baseball team. Now, do you want to know what he coached on baseball? He coached hitting. He taught me how to hit. With one hand, he still taught us how to hit. Now, the crazy part was during that season, we made it to the playoffs. And it got down to the ninth inning. We were facing this team that was incredible. And it was like the bottom of the ninth. And no joke, like I was up to bat. I mean, this is like Field of Dreams moment, right? The problem is it's my field of nightmares because I wasn't very good at baseball. And so I get up there and I'm batting. And the thing was, is they had this kid that could pitch. I mean, the kid might as well have just had a full beard. He threw so much. It was just like he was a grown man, you know, in a third grader's body. And I remember the first pitch he threw, I didn't even see it. Just straight by me. Well, at that point, I just started to panic. I didn't even know what to do. And somewhere in the midst of this at bat, when this kid was throwing so much heat, I transitioned from batting like this to batting like this. This is a true story. I started swinging the bat with one hand, like one arm bat. Now, when I told my wife this story, she started laughing at me. And she's like, did you not know you're supposed to use two hands? It's like, no, I knew I was supposed to. It's the problem was the only person that I saw taught me how to hit was a guy that when it swung, he always swung with one arm. And so even though I knew it up here, I actually just started swinging with one arm because I'd just been around it so much. And I remember even looking over at him and him giving me this look of like, what are you doing? Like, are you kidding me right now? Needless to say, I struck out and that was the end of my baseball career. Now, what does it have to do with today? Simple. It's this. See, whether you're a Christian or not, whether you've been in church for the first time or the 500th time, what's true about human nature is that oftentimes what we surround ourselves with affects us way more than we'd ever like to admit. Isn't that true? Now, before you judge me right now on that, I mean, just think about your life. Have you ever had it where you had a friend that you were around and maybe they started saying this annoying phrase, but over time, all of a sudden out of nowhere, you found yourself saying the exact same thing. You ever seen that happen? Or another example could be this is, have you ever seen one of those couples that's married for like 40 years? And they kind of have like the same mannerisms and the same way they go about certain things? Well, chances are they didn't start that way. It's just over time, whatever you surround yourself with, it tends to affect you. Now for us as a church, here's what we're doing. We want to surround ourselves with some incredible people from the scriptures. And as we're in this series and stay positive, we're looking to learn from these guys who lived in the midst of hard times. But even in the midst of that, they had incredible spirits and an incredible just perspective on life. Because I don't know about you, but when I look around the world today, I don't really see a whole lot of positive. I actually see a lot more negative going on. You know, just jump on social media for 15 seconds and you'll watch people just devour one another. Or even this last week here in Hawaii, you know, you had a bunch of people that's like, there's a lot of setbacks that happen. And people are really discouraged and upset. And there's a lot going on and it's a challenging time for us. And I know it's not just a Hawaii thing. It's across the world. Wherever you're watching this, you're facing similar challenges. But the question is how in the midst of these challenges can you thrive? How can we press forward? And so each week what we're doing is we're sitting at the feet of somebody, learning a lesson, adding it into our person so we can continue to thrive in the midst of all that we're facing. So today's message, I'm titling this, is Positioning Yourself for Victory. And the person we're going to learn from is a man named Jonathan. Now, if you have your Bibles, you can open up to 1 Samuel 13 with me. Hey, listen, if you're not real familiar with the Bible or who Jonathan is, it's not a big deal. I will totally help you get on the same page. But in order for you to really understand this story, I got to give you a little bit of a background. So this is how it is. Jonathan was the first prince of Israel. So Israel had just anointed the first man that was ever going to be their king, a guy named Saul, his dad. Jonathan was his son. And what you got to know about Israel is this was not Israel that's like all high and mighty and better than any other nation. This was Israel that was kind of like the small fish in the pond. The example why is they had a neighbor. They were called the Philistines. And man, the Philistines were the ones that had all the power. If you've been around church at all, maybe you've heard of the story David and Goliath. Goliath was a Philistine. This is all kind of in that same time frame. And so what you're going to see is that Saul and Jonathan, they had to fight the Philistines. They were in a war. But what's crazy in this story is it was not a war of equals. I'll show you as we pop up here on the screen. This is from 1 Samuel chapter 13, verse 19. It says this. It says, "Now no blacksmith could be found in all the land of Israel. For the Philistines said, otherwise the Hebrews," that's another way they called Israel, "will make swords or spears. So it came about on the day of battle that neither sword nor spear was found in the hands of any of the people who were with Saul and Jonathan. But they were," talking about the swords, "they were found with Saul and his son Jonathan." Catch this. This is so crazy. All of Israel had no weapons. They literally had no swords to go out and fight a battle. Have you ever heard that phrase, don't bring a knife to a gunfight? You know what I'm talking about? They always talk about in the movies. They say it all cool. Not like how I just said it, but they say it all cool, right? And the idea is like you got to have the right weapon to fight the battle. Well, these guys have to fight a war and they don't even have any weapons. Now, because of that, the people, the Hebrews, the Israelites, they were afraid. So they knew they had to fight, but then it's like, how are we going to fight? So they were hiding. Now, it makes sense, right? Because the reality was is they were under-resourced to do what it is that they needed to do. And I love this part of the story because I don't know about you, but oftentimes for me, I can feel under-resourced. There might be things that I need to do in my life and I don't feel like I have the resources to be able to do it. Or it's not fair compared to when I look at other people's situations. I'm guessing I'm not the only one. Stuff like this. You know, maybe you don't know the right people. Maybe you have a lack of opportunities. It just seems like everyone else is getting these chances and you just can't catch a break, or you don't have enough time. I mean, maybe for some of you parents, it's like, I'm trying to do work and trying to do this, but I've got to do homeschool now because my kids are here. It's like, how do I do this? Or maybe you don't feel like you have the qualifications, or you don't know enough, or you just have like a lack of finances. See, for the Israelites and for Jonathan, this was the reality that they were living in. All of these things. But what you're going to see is, although being under-resourced caused everyone else to step back and to hunker down, Jonathan has a different spirit. Jonathan has a different perspective. And he has a way to position himself for victory that causes God to do something incredible during this time. So it caused everyone else to hide, to draw back. I mean, they were just completely under-resourced. Now, although that was how everybody else thought, Jonathan had a different mindset, a different spirit, a different perspective. He was able to position himself for victory, so much so that it caused God to do something incredible. Let's take a look in 1 Samuel. See, chapter 14 starts and says, "Now the day came that Jonathan, the son of Saul, said to the young man who was carrying his armor, 'Come, and let us cross over to the Philistines' garrison that is on the other side.' But he didn't tell his father." So this is his plan. Basically, he's saying, "Hey, me and you, the two of us, let's go over there and let's attack this entire Philistine garrison, just me and you." He doesn't even tell anybody. Now, I don't know about you, but this isn't like the brightest plan in my playbook. You know what I mean? It's like, that doesn't make a whole bunch of sense. But Jonathan's about to teach us something that for oftentimes a lot of us we're actually going to miss. He says this. He says, "You know, perhaps the Lord will work for us, for the Lord is not restrained to save by many or by few." See, here's the thing. When it comes to life, there's kind of really two ways to make choices. You can make choices based on what you see in the circumstances, or you can make choices by who it is that's with you. See, the majority of how we do it, we look at what's going on right around us. We look and it's like, do I have enough money? Do I have enough this? And it makes sense a little bit in terms of the world's wisdom. I understand why we do it. But in that situation, what we would have done is we would have shrank back. Jonathan, on the other hand, he knows something that all of us, we need to be reminded of. He knows that it's not necessarily how much you have that's going to dictate the outcome of the situation, but rather who's the one that's with you. And Jonathan knew that God was with him. It wasn't just like a belief like, oh, there's someone out there. He's got my back somewhere. He's thinking good thoughts towards me. It's like, no, no, no. God is actively involved in this situation and in my life. And here's the thing about God. He's not limited. He doesn't care if there's a lot of resources or a little resources. And so Jonathan starts to take this completely different perspective of this. As it's like, let's see what God will do. Let's see how God will show up, because God's never limited. And so he goes out and he approaches the Philistines. This was his plan. He said, listen, we'll reveal ourselves to them. And if they say to us, wait until we come to you, then we will stand in our place and not go up to them. However, if they say, come up to us, then we will go up. Why? For the Lord has given them into our hands, and this shall be the sign to us. Now, I just want to point out one thing about Jonathan that I think it's so important. And if you've been in church for a while, I want you to catch this. Jonathan isn't even sure if God asked him to do this. Catch that. Perhaps God will work for us. Okay, we'll go, and if this happens, it means that God wants this to happen. But if this happens, it means God doesn't want this to happen. See, a lot of times I think one of the misconceptions that we have is we tend to think that when it comes to living a life of faith, oftentimes it's that, oh, God will tell us to go do something and then we'll go do it. Now, that does happen. But a life of faith doesn't always look like that. Jonathan's thing is, you know what? I'm going to take a step out because I know who God is and what he's like. And I'm going to just trust and step out first. And I'm not necessarily just going to sit back and wait. I'm going to take a step of faith. Listen, oftentimes, if you want to see God show up, we actually have to show up first sometimes. God's going to prompt us to take a step out. And in doing that, sometimes we'll be able to see his will come about. And so he's not even sure, but this is his mindset. God shows up. With God, everything's possible. I just want to see if God will do something. You know, I had a chance to travel quite a bit and spend time with Christians all over the world. And there's a couple guys that are just like legends to me. There's one guy in India I know pretty well. I'll call him just Uncle for today. And the reason for that is I can't really tell you his name. It's a little bit unsafe where he's at. So I want to just kind of protect him. But he's just this like spiritual giant to me. And Uncle, I'll just give you one story to give you an example. So in India, he's in a bigger city, and there was a crime that happened. These two guys committed a crime, and it was one of those crimes that was like, oh man, the media got a hold of it, and it was gnarly. And so everybody was talking about it. Everybody's in an uproar. They captured these guys, and they put them in like a high-max security prison. Well, Uncle opens the paper one day, and he's reading about these guys, and he reads their story, and he's just like, oh man, like, these guys need to have an encounter with God. These guys need Jesus. So, not because God told him to or anything else, that's his thought. So you know what he decides to do? So I'm going to march down to the jail, and I'm going to just like go and knock on the door. I'm just going to knock on the door and say, I want to talk to these guys. And so Uncle goes and he marches to this prison, knocks on the door. This guy's like, what do you want? He's like, I'm here to see blah, 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 these two guys. Now, there must have been something in his disposition, just how he carried himself. Because the guards all of a sudden were like, okay. And they opened the door. So he marches into this prison. He told me, he said, the next round I got to, the next level, you know, I just knock, knock, knock. I just told him, hey, like, I'm here to see these two guys. And at first they're confused, like, sir, you can't do that. And he's like, no. I'm here to see these two guys. Well, he said he went through like 3 or 4 rounds of this. And believe it or not, he found himself sitting at a table with these two gentlemen. Now, it's crazy is he would do this every week for the next few months. And over that time, sitting with these gentlemen, they had a powerful encounter with Jesus and their lives changed forever. He was telling me, though, he says, in the middle of doing this, there was a new warden who took over the prison. And the new warden came, and he was standing one day, and they saw Uncle, who's just a civilian. come marching through the front door. The guards open the door from him. They just keep opening through. And the warden's kind of puzzled because this isn't how you treat civilians. This isn't a normal thing. And after he gets through, he turns to one of the guards and he says, "Listen, who is that guy?" And the guard told him, said, "We don't know, but he seems very important." In other words, they just didn't even know. It just seemed that like God made a way for this to happen. Now, Uncle has tons of stories like this. And when I read this, I realize that's the kind of faith that I think God's trying to foster in all of us. The kind of faith that says, you know what, God, if you're in something, anything's possible. Let's just see what happens if we step out. Let's just see if you'll show up in our family. Let's just see if you'll mend this broken relationship. Let's just see is if I share and reach out to a friend or family member, you'll use me in some way. Let's just see what you're going to do, God. I really believe that a lot of the times, the reason we don't see God do more in our life isn't because he doesn't want to do more. It's because we're not taking steps out and being able to take these little steps and positioning in ourselves for a place of victory. Here's what Jonathan does as we go into this. So the men of the garrison hailed Jonathan and his armor bearer, and they said, "Listen, come up to us, and we will tell you something." So Jonathan says to his armor bearer, "That's it, that's the sign. Follow me, for the Lord has given them into the hands of Israel." Then Jonathan climbed up on his hands and his feet with his armor bearer behind him, and they fell before Jonathan. Catch this. The 20 guys have the high ground. Jonathan has to crawl on his hands and his feet. But at this point, he's learned to recognize God's hand, and he sees it. And because of that, not only do the 20 men fall, but actually Israel starts to win this entire battle. It's a turning point. How did it happen? Because one guy had a really smart strategy, figured everything out. Because he took a look at all of his resources, his inventory, and he had whatever it took. No. Because one guy knew what God's like, and he knew that any time God shows up in a situation, there's hope. Any time that God shows up in a situation, you can bring breakthrough and change. And so what Jonathan did is this, is he positioned himself for victory. Let me say it to you like this. Sometimes in order for God to give you victory, you have to show up for the battle. You have to take the steps to position yourself for victory. And I think a lot of times for Christians, we tend to actually not necessarily take those steps, but actually kind of just sit back and say, "God, where are you?" When God's saying, "Listen, I want you to take a step out. I want you to take a step of faith, and I will come alongside you as you do that." What does that look like for modern life? Let me just give you a couple examples. Maybe for you, you know, you're praying and you need a job in this season. And it's really hard in the economy and everything's very, very difficult. What does it look like for you to show up for battle? What does it look like for you to position yourself for victory? Well, what about this? One way to do it is this. What it looks like for you to do is to actually put job applications in. See, by actually putting yourself out there, you actually give it a chance for something to happen. Sometimes we can just sit and like, it's like, okay, God, just give me a job, but we're not putting ourselves in victory. And it's like, how does that work? Like, are you waiting for somebody to just come to your door and knock? And all of a sudden it's like, I've got this job for you. Like, it doesn't necessarily make sense. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like this. It's like back to my baseball analogy, right? What it looks like to show up for battle and position yourself is you get ready and you actually start to swing a little bit, not with one arm, two arms, but you start to swing a little bit and take a shot and take a chance. And so in every area of life that we're waiting, it's important that we think through some of these things. Some of you guys, what you really are looking for victory or breakthrough in has to do with a relationship. There's some estranged relationship, maybe with your auntie and uncle, could be a family member or a friend. What does it look like to position yourself for victory in that? Well, it could be this. Maybe you reach out to them and say, "Hey, listen, do you want to get coffee?" Now, in your mind, you might be thinking back, it's like, no, but like, they're going to reject me, they're going to do this, and you're going to go through all these reasons on why you shouldn't step up to the plate and take a chance. And listen, some of the reasons are going to be really good. But what if this is the day God's going to do something? What if this time it's different? What if God shows up this time around? See, by extending that invitation, you're opening a door, you're positioning yourself for victory. Now listen, I want to be really clear. I'm not saying that every time you do this, it's going to go well. I had one relationship that I'm waiting for it to be reconciled. Just waiting. It breaks my heart whenever I think about it to this day. And a while back, I felt prompted by God, like, you know, maybe I should just reach out and see. And I reached out, and you know what? They weren't ready. But guess what? That's totally fine. A little bit later, I'm going to try again. Because who knows? Maybe God's going to show up and do something different. And when I read the scriptures, that's what I'm realizing. That's the kind of mindset and mentality God's trying to change in all of us. We're a people of hope. We're a people who step out because, listen, God does the impossible. He changes things all around us. Maybe for you, you're not a Christian. And maybe for you, even just like watching this is a huge step. And if that's you, we are so glad you're here. And for you, it's like, okay, I want God to show up. Great, that's a great area. You want to have a breakthrough or victory where God shows up in your life. What does it look like for you to position yourself for that to happen? I'll just give you one suggestion. Maybe for you it looks like this. Is this week you're going to take 10 minutes and you're just going to open a Bible on a phone, wherever, and you're just going to read. Now maybe for you it's like, yeah, but like the Bible doesn't make sense to me and it's hard. And again, all the reasons are going to come in. But what if this is the time when you open it, the Holy Spirit helps it make sense, and he speaks to you. And that encounter that you're seeking, he gives to you through that moment. I mean, it's worth it, and that's the kind of mindset of, you know what, I'm just going to step out just to start to see what happens. You know, for a lot of us, maybe it could have to do with marriage. You know, in this COVID reality, it's brought people in really close proximity, and a lot of friction's begun to happen. And maybe for you, when you look at your marriage, you just don't feel like there's a lot of hope anymore. Maybe some lies are coming in, you married the wrong person, or it just seems like it's never going to change. What does it look like to position yourself for a breakthrough or victory in your marriage? It could be as little as this. You're going to wake up and you're going to say, you know what? Even though it's been hard for years, today I'm going to give my best to it. I'm going to serve the person and I'm going to find a way to just encourage them. And you know what? Maybe on the day it doesn't go as you thought. Go to bed, feel a little discouraged, but the next day, you're going to step back up to the plate and you're going to say, you know what? Even though it's been like this, I'm going to give my best into this today. Because what you're doing is you're starting to align yourself with God and you're starting to come to a place where you're starting to say, you know, like, maybe this is the day where breakthrough comes. Maybe God's going to show up. Maybe this is the time it's going to happen. Listen, I really felt for a lot of you as we're watching this is, I'm not naive to the situations and kind of the weight that everybody's feeling. You know, I think a lot of us as we're watching this is it's like, I don't know how much longer I can keep going on this. I feel like giving up. I've tried so many times. I've taken so many at-bats in this relationship or with my business. And the setbacks this week, it feels like too much. And if that's true, I really feel like God wants to say this to you is don't give up. We serve a God who shows up and he will meet you in this. Just don't give up. Scripture says it like this. Let us not become weary in doing good. Why? For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we don't give up. You know, there is the great theologian, Wayne Gretzky. He's a hockey player. He said it like this. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. In other words, going back to baseball, you know what the worst position you could take in positioning yourself? It's this. I'm done. As soon as you put your bat down, there's no chance of breakthrough, is there? The ball comes, the opportunity is there. It doesn't work. We've got to position ourselves like Jonathan. We've got to be a people that even when it's hard, we encourage each other. We keep spurring each other on towards good deeds. Because here's the thing. It's just a matter of when it's going to happen. Now, I want to say a couple other things as we start to kind of close today, and that's this. You know, when it comes to like levels of faith and different things, for a lot of us, we live at kind of different places. And some of us, it's like, well, what are you telling me? Like, you want me just to like take this huge step and just keep trusting and just like kind of like force myself to do it? Well, yes and no. The truth is for a lot of people, over time is when your faith develops. It's kind of like a muscle, right? It's like if you lift a muscle and work it out, it continues to grow. And the same can be said of faith. You know, Jonathan, when we read that story, that wasn't Jonathan's first battle. If you read earlier in chapter 13, he had actually won another battle. And I really believe that him winning that battle started to change his mind of what God could do. I'll tell you stories just from my own life to help illustrate this a little bit. For me, I remember when I started to really start to pray for God to do things in my life for real. Like, I started with like little stuff. I'll give you an example. This is when I was in Oregon. I was 19. We don't have safety checks in Oregon like we do here in Hawaii. We have DMV smog checks. And I had driven this car to get checked, and it was this old janky car. And man, I tell you, there was so much smoke coming out of my car. I looked like Pigpen from Peanuts. You know, the guy with the blanket that's so dirty. I was so embarrassed. I pulled in the station. The guys laughed in my face, failed. I was so mad. But as I drove away, all of a sudden I had this thought of like, I wonder what would happen if I prayed for the car. Now, there's nothing in the Bible about praying for cars. There are no cars in the Bible. But it was like, I mean, what's the worst that could happen? So this is, I don't know why I did this. To this day, I don't know why. But I found myself, I'm just going to pray for the car. And I prayed for the car and went back. And all of a sudden, the thing just passed. Now, some of you guys watching this, like, that's a coincidence. That's like that. Whatever. For me, I freaked out. I was in the car driving home like, yes, Jesus, you're real. Like freaking out. I know it sounds completely nuts, but it was just something small where I feel like God started to just show a little bit. Other examples of this were with prayer for healing. I would read in the Bible and it says that God heals. So I started to pray for different people to be healed. I started in church. Hey, like, this person's sick, let's pray for him. One lady in our church, I remember, she didn't have a bicep tendon from here to here, so she couldn't lift her arm that high. And so we prayed for her, and all of a sudden, for the first time in 3 years, she was able to lift her arm. Now, we were floored by this. And when God showed up like that, guess what happened to our faith? Boom, it started to grow. So much so that it changed how we saw different situations, because it's like, wow, they're not just stories, God's for real. Now, I'll give you one last story on just the healing line. So after we saw that happen, it built my faith. So much so that I was working out in my CrossFit gym and with a bunch of people that like totally are like anti-God and everything else. And one of the guys hurt his ankle. And all of a sudden, I felt confident to pray. Like, I'm going to pray for his ankle. And so I did. I prayed for his ankle. I was shocked by myself. But what started to happen was my faith started to grow and I knew who was with me. And I was more focused here than I was on the surroundings around me. And the craziest thing is, man, this guy, he came up. He's like, I don't know what you did, but my ankle feels different. And it was like, this is awesome. Not because I'm awesome. I'm not awesome. But it's just the nature of God at work. And listen, that's what I really feel like God wants to say is, listen, He's a God at work in our lives. He's a God who wants to continue to work in your marriage, in your family, wherever you find yourself. But the question is will you position yourself for Him to work? Will you step out so that you see Him show up inside of your life? You know, a couple takeaways I want to give us today is this. Here's the two takeaways, real tangible. You're going to answer these two questions. What's an area in your life that you need God to bring victory in? And the second thing is this, is what's one action you can take this week to position yourself for victory? You know, today I was talking with a woman that she's like a hero to me locally here in Hawaii. And part of the reason was that she has an incredible story. You know, for 19 years, her family was in disarray. Her husband was kind of stepping out a little bit, and the kids like had so much like hurt and upset towards him. I mean, it was just gnarly, just a gnarly situation. You know, along the way, so many people are saying, there's just no hope. There's no hope for this. This is never going to change. But something changed inside of her, and it said this, is that if God is who he says he is, and he'll show up in here, I'm going to believe God to do something powerful in my family. And so what she did is rather than retreat from her family, she actually leaned into it. And I'd love to tell you in the next week, her whole family changed, or even in the next month. But it actually took years. It took years. But she just kept pouring and kept being faithful. And we sat today, I mean, almost like to the point of tears. And she just told me, like, there's been so much breakthrough in her family now that once what was dead is now back to life. Her husband adores her. Her kids are fully connected, totally back to the husband. I mean, it's just like an incredible transformation. And what was totally dead has now come back to life. And the reality of it is when you think about it, that's what we believe as Christians. We don't believe Jesus is just a good teacher or that, you know, he's got a good way to live. We believe that he can do the impossible. When he died on the cross, we also believe that he not only died for our sins, but he rose from the dead. He conquered death itself. And if we have a God who can conquer death itself, he can show up in your life. He can strengthen you, even this week when you feel absolutely exhausted and you can't go on. He can change something in either one of your hearts in a marriage. He can help you in business, even when the economy's terrible and it seems like there's no way forward. If we'll just start to keep our eyes on him, to know he's with us and to start to take steps out, to position us ourselves in a place of victory and to trust that he's going to guide us. If this isn't the step, he'll redirect us towards a different step. But let's not be a people who just shrink back and hide. Drop our bats and wait, because I feel like God's just saying, I want to do so much more. But will you respond? Will you trust me? Will you step out? Will you put faith in me? Because I'm looking for a people who will do that. And if they will do that, it says this, the eyes of the Lord look to and fro throughout the earth that he might support those whose hearts are completely his. Will you bow your heads with me as we close in prayer? You know, Father, I don't know where people are at today. There's a bunch of people in different situations. I just know, God, it can be difficult. I'll speak even for my own life, God. I know there's just times where, for me, it's hard to just keep going, and it's hard to trust, and it's hard to not just focus on my circumstances. And today, God, I pray that you would change my mind, that you would help me to now focus less on my circumstances and more on who you are. And then, God, for the areas where I'm seeking breakthrough, when I'm seeking for you to show up, Holy Spirit, would you just give me one specific step? Would you give my friends one specific step? A way that we could posture ourselves for victory, a way that we could actually show up and be obedient and do whatever it is that you're telling us to do. Because, God, I know that when we do that, it brings breakthrough. Lord, thank you that you're a God that cares about every detail of our life, that you're not passive, that you're active. But now, God, would you help us to become a people of faith who would put our trust in you so that we might be able to tell stories, not of things that we just read in Scripture, although that's good, not stories from just other people, that's good as well, but that we would encounter you and have our own stories, God, and that we would be a light in this world and have an overflow that when other people just see negativity and what's wrong, we would be able to help point what's right. And that's you, Jesus. So we love you, we praise you, and all God's people said, amen. Hey, thanks for joining us here today. And, you know, we're a church that meets in a bunch of different locations all over the state. And right now, we're currently primarily meeting online. Matter of fact, one of our locations meets at Regal Cinemas, which is a theater. And you might have heard this week that Regal's actually starting to show movies again. So we've been getting just different questions. Does that mean we're starting to gather back together in person for a New Hope Windward? Well, currently we're not doing that. And the reason is Regal's figuring out all their systems, working everything out. And what we want to do is to make sure that we do everything right and that we make sure everybody's safe and are able to do that. So we are not going to gather in person just yet. We will let you know when we start doing that again. But we just wanted to be really clear. All of our services right now will continue to be online unless you hear otherwise. And with that being said, I'd love to encourage you to hang out. We are going to have one final worship song just to come together and to sing and to really encounter God before we go out and we live that life of faith. Great being with you guys. We will see you guys next week. Aloha.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. sweetest of loves. When my heart becomes free and my shame is undone in your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come flood this place and fill the
presence, Lord, in your
Well, family, thank you so much again for joining us this morning. We hope the message touched your heart today. And we hope that you have a great week. And we'll see you next Sunday. God bless.